Drive Home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting back out on the road on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I do want to give a shout out to my friends at Curio Wellness. I'm wearing my Curio gear here today, and also the Move lotion that's helped my back so much during my travels here, looking up in the sky at hot air balloons last week. It is bye week around here. The Ravens are 1-5, but I've been eating some great food. So if nothing else, take tastiness as a hashtag. Go out, support some local businesses that aren't multi-billion dollar businesses with no accountability. These are people that make delicious donuts, delicious food, including my friends at Pizza John's. I'll be doing the show over there. We're at Coco's in early November. I'm going to be at Costas and Timonium later this week, celebrating 57 years, baby. Woo! 57 years, two Super Bowls, and a 1-5 football team. I will have Raven scratch-offs to give away, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. It's been a lucky batch. We'll be doing that out on the Crab Cake Tour as we get the shoe on the road, as well as my GBMC colonoscopy that's coming up. Can't be soon enough, my colonoscopy in a 1-5 season, but I'm 5 weeks out on that. So I want to encourage all men to do what I'm doing, which is have a little bit of courage. I mean, just a little bit of more courage than maybe some of the Ravens have to come to the podium or speak to, you know, lowly reporters in the fan base after they lose football games. Luke, I have written and inked my disgust with the operation with John Harbaugh 2 weeks ago, long before they were 1-5. I sent John a missive about something that transpired in his locker room that you know about and I know about that the public doesn't know about because the person involving it didn't want it to be made public. So I haven't made it public. But I was disgusted by it and I fired off a steamer. And John fired back the usual, I have no idea what you're talking about. I love God. I love my family. I love you. Everything's good. One day we'll sit down and talk about it. Sure we will, John. So I wrote a letter to John in my, I want to say disgust, because I'm, dude, you know me a long time. I'm way past disgust with these people. I'm appalled at all of it. But certainly when they're 5-1, no one cares what I think or who talks to who at the locker room or whatever. Everybody's a hell of a winner. When they're 1-5, everybody wants Harbaugh fired, Zach Orr fired, Chuck Pagano fired for even being a part of it, Monken fired for running the ball like a goof on the goal line twice with Mark Andrews. And meanwhile, like, the backdrop of all of this is the players haven't been good enough. They haven't been. The second string guys aren't good enough. Eric DaCosta's brought in guys that can't do it. Injuries have piled up, bad fortune, bad luck. And then, you know, maybe a couple of bad contracts in here, not Marcus Williams, notwithstanding, and some others. And what I've said to Harbaugh in my letter is accountability is easy. That's part of being a good person. Integrity is easy. Not lying should be easy. Although it's impossible for Chad Steele and John Harbaugh and Steve Bisciotti in this group to not lie. You're the white guy in the locker room. I'm the Venezuelan watching National Hispanic Month Heritage stuff going on while I'm the only Hispanic Heritage journalist that I've met around here in about 41 years who's been thrown out. So the incongruency and the lies and the lack of integrity, that's sort of built into it. But when they're 15-2, no one cares. When they're 1-5, it's fire everybody. And I'm not a fire everybody guy. I'm not even a fire John guy. I picked them to win the Super Bowl 7 weeks ago. So when he writes to me saying, I hate him and all of that, I think, where's their head, man? Where's their mojo? Even when I'm writing to the coach, I'm thinking, where's your head, dude, that any of this is acceptable and that running out the back door for your players is acceptable or leaning on the we've got too many injuries is acceptable? Bad football is unacceptable. They're 1-5. It should be unacceptable to all of them from Bisciotti head down that what this stinking turd is should not be chalked up to, well, Lamar's going to hamstring, or we can dig out of this and this, we're so fortunate to be 1-5 because it gives us an opportunity to show them what we're made of. And like, I feel I've learned what you're made of the first 6 weeks, and it's paper mache.
I mean, no one said they're fortunate to be 1-5. I mean, let's not miscategorize.
He called it a great opportunity in the post game.
Okay, but he also acknowledged plenty of bad things. I'm going to be fair here, in the midst of plenty of warranted criticism. But yeah, I mean, look, The injuries are part of it. I'm not, I will not completely dismiss the injuries.
Nor will I.
Lamar Jackson being out is bad in the same way that Josh Allen being out would be. I mean, I don't know how many games Buffalo would win at all without Josh Allen. Wasn't that the whole crux of the argument for him to win the MVP last year
How
was
about we just
his
basically take
health?
$150 million a player off the field, like
Sure.
we did
It,
2 weeks ago,
it's a big
and any
part of it.
organization take the first $150 million off their payroll and expect them to go play? I mean, the
Sure.
Yankees have a hard time with that, Aaron Judge. Dodgers have a hard time, no matter how much they spend, if they don't have their players. Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
so that's absolutely part of it. That said, yeah, if you want to just point to that and then just shrug your shoulders at the rest of it and say, well, we need to get healthy, we're fine. You know, that as Buck Showalter would say, that would be convenient if you want to do that, or you have to acknowledge that, yeah, you do have issues that go beyond that, right? I mean, they were a healthy team in Buffalo. It feels like an eternity ago at this point in time, back in week one, but they were a healthy team other than what? Isaiah Likely, right? And Patrick Ricard. But those guys had nothing to do with the fact that they blew a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. They were much healthier in week three against Detroit than they were last week against Houston or where they were on Sunday, right? Their defense did get healthier this past week, and we did see a better version of a Ravens defense. Now, I'll point out that the Rams did some things to help them as well in terms of some drop passes. It certainly helped that Puka Nacua leaves the game with an ankle injury and came back in the second half, but was a non-factor, right? I mean, you're talking about the best wide receiver in the NFL, a guy that entered Sunday on pace to have 2,000 receiving yards this year. He was at 99.4 or whatever the pace was. So it's not as though the Rams played perfect football, but that's part of the frustration here was that was a winnable football game. I mean, they led for a good portion of the first half. It was 3-3 at halftime, and then you come out in the second half, you give up a touchdown drive. Okay, you know, not the end of the world. You're down 10-3. But when that happened on the heels of what happened at the end of the first half, where you fail to punch it in from the one on three straight plays, the Rams get their touchdown, and then Zay Flowers fumbles two plays later. I mean, PU, right? I mean, a game that was winnable and tied at halftime is 17-3, 5 minutes into the third quarter. I mean, you know, that's below the bar, to use John Harbaugh's term from a decade ago. So, I mean, there's a lot going on right now. And yeah, the injuries are a big part of it. And Lamar Jackson coming back will help this team immensely. I mean, Tyler Linderbaum, was asked about how much they miss Lamar, and he said, it's Lamar Jackson. You know, it's the best football player on the planet. Sure, he's going to help us. But that said, you know, if you think it's going to be as simple as Lamar just shows back up against Chicago and it's game on and all their other issues are going to be fixed, then they were 1-3 with Lamar Jackson on the field, right? I mean, that Kansas City game was well on its way to being a loss by the time Lamar exited at the end of the third quarter. So they've got all kinds of issues. We know that. And I do think some of it is fixable or can be improved, but I still come back to where is your offensive line? Where is your defensive line? Can you run block consistently enough? Are your offensive linemen capable of run blocking consistently enough? Because we have not seen any kind of consistency on that front here in 2025. Can they protect, whether it's Lamar Jackson, Cooper Rush, or Tyler Huntley, can they protect sufficiently? And yeah, Lamar scrambles and will get away from rushers that Cooper Rush or even Tyler Huntley isn't going to necessarily get away from, but you still need to be able to protect. He can't be doing that every single play. So you have that. And then on the defensive line, which, as we talked about in the offseason, that was something that if you were asking me to identify two or three position groups that I was not as confident in terms of their depth, it was certainly the D line. That's why I was surprised that in a draft that was considered pretty deep and rich in defensive linemen, that they didn't draft a D lineman until Aeneas Peebles in the sixth round, who was a healthy scratch on Sunday, right? I mean, kind of speaks to where they are there. So, I mean, the D line, is Roquan Smith going to come back and be Roquan Smith? Are they going to stay healthy? Right? I mean, these are a lot. Is Zach Orr going to, and the co rest of the coaching staff going to figure this out, assuming Zach Orr's going to continue to be the defensive coordinator, which John Harbaugh indicated after the game that he will be. We're going to find out, right? I mean, they're going to have to play a game a week from Sunday, right? They get a respite this week to reset and self-scout and rest up and try to recalibrate and try to get their heads right and try to, be accountable to one another and have difficult discussions and they'll go away for a few days then this weekend and come back and it's go time. I mean, you need to view it like you're in the playoffs the rest of the way, right? I mean, that's you don't need to win out, but 9 of 11 is what you need to get to 10-7, which is, like I said, the benchmark for feeling good about a playoff spot. Anything less than that, you're counting on Pittsburgh to completely collapse, right? I mean, you're counting on other teams in the AFC to be lousy enough that 9-8 has a chance for a wild card. So you can't count on that. But 10-7, again, with Seattle last year being the exception, you look at the last 4 years, 10-7's been good enough to get in as a wild card. I mean, that's kind of been the benchmark. So that's what you're looking at. But okay, I'll hear it. Bears at Miami, at Minnesota, given their quarterback. Okay, fine. At Cleveland, given their quarterback. Okay, fine.
You could
Jets.
play that game all day, right?
Yeah,
You can look at the schedule here and
sure.
say they can win five of the next six. Dude, I wrote John Harbaugh a steamer. And even in it, I said, you'll be 7-7. I mean, I literally right here, what do I have in my pocket? Literally, I got, we want to do a Coco's gift card. We want to do Pizza John's. Whatever makes you happy. You want crab cake? You want pizza? You want sheet steak? I'll bet you any sandwich of your choice on the tastiness menu, including the delicious fried lobster at the Beaumont, which is probably the priciest menu. I'll bet you whatever you want. I think they'll be 7-7.
Okay. I mean,
I'll say that right now. It's my birthday. It's October 4th. They will be 7-7.
okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that's impossible. At the same time, I also can't look at that schedule and just say win, 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 win. When you're one in five, you know what all those teams are looking at right now? They're saying, "Oh, the Ravens are on the schedule.
They can't play defense. They
They're
don't
really
rush the
struggling."
quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, okay, yeah, Lamar's still a nightmare for teams to defend, and
Their
now he can do.
offensive line
But
stinks and is
they're all,
banged up.
yeah. Is
Yeah.
Lamar even going to be upright by
He'll
then,
drop the
right?
ball when the game's on the line and then
So,
hide after the
I mean,
game.
we talked about this. We talked about this last week, Nestor.
Repeatedly.
Three of the first five AFC offensive players of the week this season played the Ravens that week. I mean, you're talking about Josh Allen, you're talking about Patrick
Is that like when
Mahomes
they take
and
you as a
CJ
knockout
Stroud.
pool every week as
I
the
mean,
loser?
but the point is, they've been the get well opponent for these teams. So, look, again, I agree. Like, the schedule sets up better, and that's been part of this as well. We talked about this back in August. We talked about this in May when the schedule came out. The fact that they were playing five of their first six against playoff teams from a year ago. And you and I talked about the need for them to get off to a good start. I mean, my goodness. I mean, now when you look back at that, it's like, yeah, you think? I mean, how about get off to a mediocre start? And, if they were 3-3 right now, I'd feel mostly okay about this football team if they were 3-3 right now. But when you're 1-5, again, even if you're firing on all cylinders, going 9-11 or 9 of winning 9 of 11, going 9-2 the rest of the way, that's a tall order, even for a team that's really, really playing at a high level, just because it's the NFL. And you are going to have injuries, and you are going to have the ball bounce a weird way, and you're going to have weird weather, right? I mean, the weather on Sunday ended up being far more pleasant than it looked like it might be when you looked at the forecast on Thursday, right? But you're looking at a team that's now needing everything to go nearly perfectly the rest of the way, as far as the things that can go perfectly. I mean, Nnamdi Madubuike is not walking through that door, right? I mean, Tavius Robinson now has a broken foot. And what does that mean for your edge group that's really thin at this point in time? Whether it's good enough or not, I mean, just the sheer numbers are a major concern at this point. So you have these things that have gone wrong that you're not going to be able to control, But everything you can control,
Man.
it's got to be so much better. And then you're still hoping that you don't have a crazy weather day that completely neutralizes what you do, or or might help the other team in a certain manner. You're hoping to have much better health. I mean, they're going to need to stay much healthier the second half of the season. That's obvious, right? I mean, you have another run of injuries like they had week three through week five. Yeah, it's going to be all she wrote, right? I mean, and certainly if Lamar misses any more time, it's absolutely it's over, right? I mean, that's why I kept saying to you 2 weeks ago that you probably have to keep Lamar sidelined through the bye, right? Because if he tries to come back and plays at less than 100% or only 85% or whatever arbitrary number you want to throw out there, and then has a setback, then it truly is over. If Lamar had tried to play Sunday and has a setback and then he's out another 5 weeks, yeah, we're talking about the draft and we are talking about John Harbaugh's future and the coaching staff's future and all these free agent to be their future. So it's bleak. I mean, it is. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and I can see a path, but is it realistic? Do you really have the conviction and the confidence in this football team to do it? I mean, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, and this ties in with what you wrote about and some of the things you've talked about, but this is uncharted territory for the Lamar era Ravens. I mean, it is. I get it. They've had some years where they've had to make a run if they were trying to win the number one seed or trying to win the division, but they were never in a position where, oh my gosh, you need to go nuts here over the last 11 games just to make the playoffs, just to put yourself in the conversation for a wild card, right? I mean, to sit here for any team to say that you need to win 9 of 11 just because you've been able to do it in the past, when you need to do it now, and like that's just your reality that's staring you in the face at the bye week, man, that's a lot. And because you are 1-5, what is going on between the ears? What is under the hood? How much belief do you have in each other? Are
Where is
guys
the
sure?
leadership?
Sure, absolutely. So like those are all fair questions. If it was unfair to ask that, then why are you 1-5 then? You know what I mean? Like, and look, again, the injuries are absolutely a big part of it. I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, next man up, next man up. Like, when you have the degree of injuries that they had, especially against Houston, no, you're not gonna win football games more often than not. But for me, it was, what was so alarming about the Houston game was just how ugly that was, how, listless and how little fight was exhibited in that game. I mean, I used the term about the Orioles the first 6 weeks of their season. Remember, I kept saying this baseball team exudes no redeemable qualities whatsoever right now. That's what the Ravens were last Sunday. Now, they played better against LA, for what that's worth, right? I mean, the defense was as good as it's been since week two against Cleveland. I'm not saying that you're not confusing that with the 2000 Ravens or even the 2023 Ravens, but you're hoping that Alohi Gilman now in that lineup and Hamilton playing the nickel and playing closer to the line of scrimmage, that can help you out playing the run, that can help you out in terms of Hamilton blitzing a little more often and helping out in those
Well, the
ways.
lack of the pass rush
And that,
against these kinds of quarterbacks is absurd. And Tom Brady, and I know you weren't watching the game because you have a press pass and I don't, but Tom Brady said during the game that, Matthew Stafford comes up to the line of scrimmage. And by the way, Brady was fantastic on Sunday. Like, as much as you don't like the sound of his voice and you hear it, and there's a lot of sort of A-Rod sort of faux polish involved in it in some sort of weird, funky sort of way. Maybe it's the avocado ice cream, I'm not sure. But dude, he's so insightful. He's so smart. He's so quick. And he's now got this enthusiasm about him that Romo lost somewhere along the line, where
Brady, he's gotten better. I mean,
he's
he
gotten
was,
better. He's in the game and he's insightful. He's very insightful. And he talked about challenges, especially when the Ravens, he's talked about their resiliency at the end. But he talked about Matthew Stafford coming up to the line of scrimmage and getting his football team into a premium play. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that reference, a premium play, which is to Tom Brady's mind, I'm going to go up. I'm going to get you all set up. I'm going to figure out what you show me you're going to do, what I think you might be doing, what you've done in the past, what my brain and Bill Belichick and all of my 15, 20 years of going through this, every machination of a safety beating down, backing up, where the blitz could come from, who's my hot, whether my running back can really block like Justice Hill or whether he really can't block or not, who's going to have my ass, whether Note Boom's at left tackle and I know I have less than a half a step in that direction, all of this processing that happens, and then say, oh, they got a nickel that doesn't belong on the field, and he's matched up on DeAndre Hopkins. Let's go. Snap the ball. Boom, boom, we're going to beat you. A premium play. And that's just something that half the quarterbacks in the league in any week can't do, aren't given the license to do. Lamar wasn't given the license to do that earlier. Now Lamar is given the license to do that for better or worse most weeks. So is Joe Flacco for better or worse, right? Who should be able to read it better than Lamar or better than a lot of guys that he shouldn't be throwing stupid passes. One of the benefits of Aaron Rodgers, never turns the ball over. Never turns the ball over. Never. They're 4-1. He's 48 years old, whatever the hell he is, on, peyote, mushrooms, whatever he's eating this week. It's working. Whatever seance he's having with Mike Tomlin, they're in first place and waving their towels, and we're 1-5 and trying to figure out who the quarterback is and who's going to play offensive line and who's going to rush the quarterback. And, there is a point where premium plays for a quality quarterback is going to beat this defense as constructed. Now, I keep thinking we're 6 weeks into the year. One of the real reasons they're 1-5, they have no pass rush. None,
Sure.
none, none. I mean,
Sure.
none, zero.
Yeah. I
And
mean,
they just lost Tavis Robinson. I mean, and they dealt Owe, who wasn't very good at it to begin with. So now they went from, we're not very good at it to, ah, F it. Well,
I mean,
we don't need it. Let's focus on the run stop a little bit more. I don't. And then sending John Jenkins out to the podium, and I wrote my dear John Harbaugh letter that I hope everybody reads. But sending John Jenkins out to the podium instead of the guys making all the money, gross. Just gross.
I get it. He's 36. He's been around the league, but he's not a leader in this locker room. And look, I talked to John Jenkins like twice, right? I mean, I haven't gotten to know him particularly well. Like the media, I think that's the first time he's been on the podium, right? I mean, it speaks to he's clearly not a guy that has a status or a
I looked him up.
stature.
He's 36 years old and he's played on 10
He
teams
played a
and
lot,
he plays
sure.
with every team for one
But
year and he
yeah.
plays 11 or 12 games and he's a swing center defensive tackle who
It's a
has
nose
some girth
tackle.
to him.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
And he made a heck of a play on Sunday, right? I mean, took the ball away. That's something they hadn't done since week two.
2 points for Kokkinen and Eric DaCosta, who thinks I don't
Sure.
compliment him either. I mean, and for having that kind of player to be available to play, but it's not op it's suboptimal, as
Sure.
my partner Tom Kapp would say,
Sure.
suboptimal.
I mean, you just said it. I mean, you're already questioning the pass rush, and now the numbers are just having viable warm bodies, right? I mean, okay, the pass rush is not good, but of course not, right? But now you're even lesser than you had been. And look, I'm not going to sit here and cry over Odafe Oweh being dealt. We talked about it a few weeks ago. In fact, I think I was the one who brought it up. It's like, where is Odafe Oweh? Like, you're making $13 million. It's go time. Like, this is a contract year. And I did see got a sack for the Chargers, although it wasn't like a pure pass rush set. Like, I mean, Tua had rolled out to his side, and it was kind of a cleanup sack or whatever. But no, like, how are you going to deal with that? And okay, fair. Noted. They've faced Josh Allen, they have faced Jared Goff, they have faced Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud, who is playing better after a bad start to the season. Certainly the Ravens had a big part in that happening. And Matthew Stafford, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. These next six games, they're going to face Caleb Williams, who's playing better. Bears quarterback, former number one pick, all that. Tua, I mean, the Dolphins are just a mess. They're a disaster. At Minnesota, I mean, Carson Wentz or JJ McCarthy. At Cleveland, you're talking about a rookie quarterback in Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders by then. Who knows? And then the Jets with whatever that was in London. I mean, yeah, so yeah, you look at the next 6 weeks and the next six opponents and you say, okay, or next five opponents, I think I rattled off five games there. Yeah, you're not going to be playing quarterbacks at the level that they've played so far this year. But if you can't get after even a young quarterback, they're going to find someone open eventually, right? I mean, that's just how this works. So they've got to, and it's easier said than done. Maybe there's a trade that to be made. Maybe you give up a premium draft pick to go get an edge guy or a defensive tackle with the thought that you're not sure if Nnamdi Matabike is going to play football again and you might need to replace him, not just for the rest of this year, but moving forward. Who knows? So is there a move like that to be made? Could be. But at the same time, I mean, you're 1-5. And even if you make a couple moves at the trade deadline, is that going to be enough? So, especially if you're talking about like a rental. So, I mean, they've got to figure that out. That's obvious, right? I mean, and we've been talking about it, and we've talked about that off and on for years now. I mean, you go back to when was the last time they truly had a pass rush that you really felt, man, this is a heck of a pass rush. I mean, dare I say, I mean, you might have to go back to Suggs still being on the team, right? I mean, you go back to Suggs and Dumervil both having double-digit sacks, what, in 2014, I think it was. They've had some guys sprinkled in since then. I mean, they've been able to scheme pressure. I mean, that's kind of been their philosophy. You've heard me talk about that analytics, idea of you load up in the secondary and you scheme up pressure. Well, kind of feels like the league's caught up to that way of thinking, and they're not stopping the run as consistently. And I mean, they can't get a pass rush to save their life. So yeah, you need to be better on the back end. And I think going to three safety alignments is going to help. I certainly like that more than depending on all these corners in the way they were, just because, well, we're seeing it. I mean, Chidobe Awuzie got hurt, should be back after the bye. And Jaire Alexander, I mean, they're telling you what they think about him when he's active and didn't play a snap on Sunday, right? So yeah, you kind of go back to let's have three safeties on the field, and we'll kind of go from there. So
Well, I referenced part of this in my accountability thing, which is you drafted this kid in the second round to get after the quarterback who had real problems in college during an offseason of Justin Tucker in regard to women and how women in the building are treated, which was my original missive to John Harbaugh 3 weeks ago about women being mistreated in his building. He took umbrage with that, and I said, see Tucker, Justin, and who's not kicking, by the way, but will be for somebody else in a couple of weeks. But between Mike Green, Ben Cleveland, their off-season signings and transgressions, and Justin Tucker and drafting the kicker, and like all of this smoke that sits up on the team about players of, I'm gonna say, ill repute but questionable integrity. And then when it comes time for them to play, I mean, Jaire Alexander was at the heart of the reason I sent the text to John Harbaugh 2 weeks ago and his behavior about accountability for all of them. And I don't send them to Mark Andrews, who's still running out the back door, and Zay Flowers, who did it this week. But there is a, it's a theme. It's a way of life led on by Chad Steele. And it seems to me like Derrick Henry has no problem being accountable, win or lose, fumble or not fumble, good days, bad days. We talked a lot about that. But the accountability of all of it to the backup players, to your point, to say, well, we drafted this guy to, I saw TJ Tampa running around in the secondary. Some of these guys I saw running around for the wrong reasons, including Malachi Starks, who got his ass fried a few times on Sunday, right? In key circumstances. Nate Wiggins playing with the shoulder thing, right? I mean, there's just. There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of draft pick. There's a lot of big money players. Harbaugh thinks I hate him. I picked a team to win the Super Bowl with
I didn't
John
even do that.
McClain. What's that?
I said I didn't even do that. I wasn't on, but I certainly wasn't expecting them to be 1-5
I
either.
picked them to win the Super Bowl. I figured at some point they're going to get it together. And look, man. They had a nice offseason on paper for me. And I tell you what, Hopkins has been useful if they could figure out the way to use him. And that's all DeMunkin having a lot of toys. And we talked about that with Greg Roman. There's one ball. Zay
Yeah.
Flowers wants it. Mark Andrews wants it. Isaiah Likely wants it. Bateman's forgotten about. They weren't giving it to Derrick Henry at all. Then you put Justice Hill on the field and you say, well, where's Keaton Mitchell? So they have all these weapons and Cooper Rush out there and nobody to pretend, and some guy named Noteboom. And the guards are terrible. So I just all of it is in totality. You know what it is, Luke? It's 1-5 at the bye.
Lesser. Yeah. I mean, it's,
It's measured now. We have a measurement for it.
I mean, you just mentioned all the weapons. I mean, in the past, when this offense was at its best, and go back to the Greg Roman years. I mean, like 2019, like look at what their wide receivers were. And that was a very different offense than what this Monken offense has been with Lamar. More on his plate, playing from the pocket more, fewer design runs, scramble. But not scrambling and just taking off, but scrambling to buy time and throwing, right? I mean, it's much more advanced, much different than it was. But back then, you kind of viewed it through the lens of, the sum is greater than the parts, in terms of the talent of the skill players and all of that. And now it's the opposite, right? I mean, Isaiah Likely's been back 3 weeks now. What has he stood out for? He had a couple penalties in the Houston game that stood out in a negative way, right? And I'm just using him as an example, but you mentioned Bateman. Like, Bateman's completely disappeared from this offense. And, so, I mean, Cooper Rush, I mean,
Well, if you have
Sunday.
no time to throw the ball and you can't get the ball to him and he's not open, he doesn't get the
And Cooper
ball.
Rush, just, he's bad. I mean, he's bad. He was bad all spring and summer. He's bad. That was a whiff, right? I mean, I'm calling it now. It's a whiff. We've seen enough.
Well, you always
The
hope that he
Ravens
never
saw
winds
him.
up on the field, and then
The
he
Raven,
did.
right? Sure. Well, but the point is, hey, Josh Johnson was making the minimum. I mean, if this was your upgrade, then boy, you wasted some money then, right? I mean, you just did because he's terrible. But that said, yeah, the protection's not where it needs to be, generally speaking. But look, last Sunday, rushed through three picks, right? We barely talked about him. Why? Because so many things were terrible in that game that I wasn't going to single out the backup quarterback as though I expected him to win them the football game, right? In the way that Lamar Jackson can win them a football game when things aren't going well otherwise, right? We've seen that. But Sunday should, and I emphasize should, have set up to be a set of variables much more conducive when at to asking your backup quarterback, hey, help us win a football game here. Because they were, other than Stanley, and that's a big one, don't get me wrong, but I mean, the Chiefs were without their left tackle on Sunday night, right? I mean, it's not as though teams are never without their left tackle, right? I mean, that injuries do happen, but otherwise they were pretty darn healthy on offense, right? Their defense was healthier than it was the previous week and gave them a more representative effort, certainly than they showed against the Texans, right? I mean, they showed fight on Sunday. They showed no fight against Houston. And they were just, I mean, God bless them. And maybe he still develops into a good player. But to speak to where the Ravens were against Houston, they started Reuben Lowry at safety. They cut him on Saturday. He went from starting as their number three safety, replacing Kyle Hamilton in the starting lineup, to being waived. That shows you where they were in terms of their depth at that position, which guys like me and you were talking about needing a number three veteran safety, from the moment that Ardarius Washington tore his Achilles back in mid-May.
Yeah, and it costs
But
you a mediocre pass rusher, at least in the
sure.
short term.
So, but you look at you kind of look at this thing on Sunday. Those variables were set up for hoping Cooper Rush can play well enough to give you a chance to win a football game. And he stunk. I mean, he just did. It's nothing personal, but I haven't seen what the Ravens saw in him from the time OTA started until now. I mean, I just haven't. And, early on, you kind of say, well, he's new, he's learning the system. I mean, and you know what? I thought it was telling to see how their offense came to life. Now, they didn't finish the drive, and Snoop threw the ball away on a fourth down, which what is with Ravens quarterbacks throwing the ball away on fourth down in the way that we've seen them in that situation? I mean,
if it gets picked off, so what? You needed to convert there. When you throw it out of bounds, like you don't have a chance. Cooper Rush did the same thing in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. So like that, there you go with situational awareness, with what's supposed to be the most important position on the field. And then you kind of look at that and say, how much of that is the player and how much of that is the coaching? I don't know, but that Sunday's game was winnable. Last week was not winnable in terms of just looking at the quarterback, right? Sunday was winnable, but they had a backup quarterback who was not good enough. And no, they didn't protect him very well either. And, that pass, you'll get Lamar back, but that pass protection is absolutely still an issue. Their ability to consistently run block. Now, they got downhill in some of those more neutral situations, and they were able to run for, buck 70, whatever it was. But can you gain 1 yard when you need to get 1 yard? And they failed miserably. And whether you hated the play calling or whether you put it
By
on the
the way, do you
body.
hate the play calling? Let's talk about that for
I mean,
2 seconds.
I didn't like tush push back 2 times. I didn't like that back to back. I'm not, look, it's so easy. And I say this, and everyone does
Yeah,
this.
second guessing
Media
plays to
included.
fail. Right, sure.
Media included.
Yeah.
Everyone does that. Because I can remember plenty of examples of, and I'm not picking on fans when I say this, but I've seen plenty of people say early in the year when they didn't do it, why didn't they do the tush push? The Ravens have been pretty good at doing that, and there are times they didn't try that. Well, this
Well, they
was,
get cute. There's no doubt about
oh,
that.
no doubt. And
Yeah, yeah.
that's kind of my big thing. Look, I think his body of work up until the last few weeks, I mean, speaks for itself that what Todd Monken's done with this offense going back to when he arrived amidst all the turmoil with Lamar's contract at that point in time. I mean, this offense, was insanely elite last year.
You can call any
But
play you want for Cooper Rush at this point in that offensive
yeah,
line,
I
and yeah,
mean,
right?
it's just, but that said, why are they so allergic to not just not giving the ball to Derrick Henry in these short yardage situations, but they continue to have these instances where they take him off the field. And to me, I just feel like you're doing the defense such a favor when you take that out of play. It's the same thing whenever we've seen in the past where, they do some kind of trickery with Lamar Jackson being motioned out or he's, standing behind the formation, where I just say, like, I want Lamar to be a feared part of this play, whether he's going to get the ball or not. I want Derrick Henry to be a feared part of this play, whether he's going to get the ball or not. You can't give it to him every single time. I understand that. That's not the argument here. The argument here is when you take him off the field entirely, I feel like you're bailing out the defense, right? And I just, with back-to-back tush push plays there, I'd much rather give Derrick Henry the ball twice in those final three plays. And if you still get stuffed, and look, they gave it to him on fourth down and he got stuffed, right? I mean, the execution's part of the problem here. But yeah, there definitely have been some times inside the red zone and in goal to go this year where it's felt way too cute. I mean, there's no question about that. But at the same time, you call a cute play and it works out. Coach is a genius, right? That's a great play call. So yes, it's the play calling, and yes, it's the execution. And yes, they haven't had Patrick Ricard in any of these needing a yard situations, which is exactly why he's on this roster. So that's part of it too. But man, you're at the one. You got a chance to go up 10-3 going into halftime for a team that's lost three in a row and is doing whatever it can to try to get a win. I mean, if this team were 2-4 right now, if they had won on Sunday, you and I are having a much different conversation. Not saying it's all great and peaches and cream, but it's certainly feeling better knowing that, okay, you got to win. You're 2-4. This post-bye schedule is very manageable in terms of being able to stack some wins. You're getting Lamar back. You're getting Roquan back. Like, you're getting Ricard back. But 1-5, I mean, it stinks.
I'm
It
on record
really
saying they'll
does.
be 7-7. I'm sticking with
And
that.
look, I'm not going to sit here and be stunned if they are, but boy, I do have my doubts, regardless of the schedule, because I really
And again, this kind of goes back to what happened in the Houston game. I'm really wondering what's between the ears and what's under the tank right now, and just how much these guys believe in each other at this point. And I don't mean that in a way that there's a rift, that like it's a personal, that guys hate each other in the locker
Well, the
room or anything
offensive
like
line
that,
and defensive line
but
aren't good enough right now, right?
it's
Just in a
not.
general sense.
But yeah,
When
and
they
this
put the
is,
film on, they'll see that. Tom Brady talked about getting pushed around all day.
and this is where I'll kind of use Zay Flowers as an example here. Not talking about post game in the locker room or any of that, but he fumbled twice. Is or were those examples of, and the first one involved him trying to desperately trying to make a play, right? The second one, he just took his balls or took his eye, there's a slip of the tongue, took his eye off the ball in terms of that handoff, and just muffed it, right? I mean, neither one's excusable, right? But that first one, is that an example of a guy just trying to do too much, right? Everyone, when you're 1-5, everyone's trying to make the play to get you going, right? Everyone's trying to make the play to save your season. And that's when you tend to run into some trouble in terms of assignment, alignment, and technique, right? And we've seen that. I mean, we certainly have seen that at various times over the last few weeks. I mean, what's going to get this team right? What's going to get this team back in a good position? Well, it's going to start with the quarterback being back on the field. I mean, like I said, none of these teams that have elite quarterbacks are doing anything without their elite quarterback. Imagine that. Wow. It's really profound, Luke. But you need Lamar Jackson back, and then you go from there in terms of this coaching staff trying to find some answers. And these players, it's gut check time. Okay, you put up more of a fight against the Rams. Good. You still lost, right? I don't think anyone's happy just because it was a more representative effort on Sunday, but you need to come out ready to go on a run, go on a roll. But at the same time, it starts with Sunday's game. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins kind of said it in a kind of backhanded way of, he said, we need to look at the next game and try not to be 1-6. That's kind of, you typically don't hear a player express something in that way, but it's the truth. It's all about the Bears. Can't worry about the next 10 games after that. You got to win next Sunday. Because if you don't do that and then you're 1-6, then yeah, then we're talking about firings and future of players and coaches and all of that. Because you get to 1-6, and I'm sorry, like I can buy into 1-5 and 9 of 11, like to some degree at least. But you come out of the bye and you drop another one, it's over. I mean, let's call it what it is. If you get the bye week and you lose to the Bears at home, and you're 1-6, then I am ready to throw in the towel at that point in time, in terms of talking about it in any kind of a realistic path to the playoffs, in the same way that you and I were done talking about the Orioles in that way by what, the second week of June, something like that. So that's, go fix things, get right, get well physically, all that. And then, boy, you need to be ready to come out and play at a much higher level than what we've seen over this first 5 or 6 weeks of the football season. That's for sure.
We'll take your phone calls here at 410-481-50. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear you bitch all week long. Luke Jones is here. I'll be talking to people with intelligent conversations all week long. We're going to take the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to Costas for my birthday. I'm also going to do Pizza John soon. I got to get dates up by the end of the month. I was kind of hanging on and vacationing and bi-weeking, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to document it all. I wrote a letter to Dear John Harbaugh, for the bye week that I hope all of you read out at Baltimore Positive. Luke will be covering all things. Luke and I will be watching baseball all week. Geddy Lee, the Seattle Mariners, the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Brewers are in on the fun with some new cast of characters, and I'll be giving away Raven scratch-offs on behalf of the Maryland Lottery. It's been a good luck batch. My friends at Curio Wellness have sent me out on the road doing tastiness. I'm getting my colonoscopy at GBMC with one of our new sponsors here, taking care of the community as we always do. And I've even had some Coppin State news as we get them back into school, and I had head coach Larry Stewart on a few weeks ago over at the Beaumont as well. He is Luke. I am Nestor. It's bye week. The football's going nowhere. The great conversation. Conversations are going nowhere. The accountability for Katie Griggs and the Orioles is going nowhere. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're better than 1-5. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.